Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The multiverse. You know, I used to love multiverse stories, man. Like, the way, like, how stories can always differ and change and be about something different, or something affects one timeline and goes to other timelines. And then there's a chance that you may never even go back to the timeline that you came from if there was all sorts of things. There was always differences, and there was always questions, and then there was always, like, you know, many, many ways to tell a story. But you know what? Then there's a moment where multiverses get too big for themselves, and then after a while, they just get really lame. Like, you know, you look over at, like, the MCU and all that bullshit going on with it, and then all of a sudden you take a look over at that movie with Jet Li and at The One, and you realize they did the whole multiverse concept so much better. And it's like, where the hell are we in this whole thing, you know? Well, but then again, you know, time's infinite, but we are not. Anyways, welcome to the J-Man Show here on
J360 Radio!
Hey, how's it going, J360 Legion? What is happening? Welcome to another Price Sunday morning here in J360 Productions. Yep, I'm happy to be here, guys. This is episode 343 of the J-Man Show, and it's finally time to go ahead and get this going. I know it was supposed to land on Saturday, but your man's been working. I've been going ahead and handling a few things around here and doing some rearrangements and all. Not only in digital space, but here in the physical world, too. So, it just needs to be done. And I'm feeling really, really good about it. So, getting rid of all the old, bringing in some new, and doing some upkeep. But, you know, as it is, it's almost like moving, you know? Like, when you're moving, you got to either be with it, or you're going to be left behind, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm just handling this stuff right now, and I'm loving every bit of it, you know? I got my animation writing desk back, and then, because there was so much crap around it, I was like, what the hell is all this? So I'm like, no, we're either going to do a yard sale, or we're going to go ahead and try to get rid of some of this crap that I don't use anymore. And indeed, like, you know, just seeing how the motivation goes. And that being said, no, you're not getting my old film equipment. Jesus Christ. But yeah, everything's just been moving sharply with this, and you know, once J360 TV clicks and comes into play, you'll be able to see a lot. But It's been a pretty busy couple of weeks for the old J-Man, other than usual, you know? But I'm loving every bit of it, though. It's just another part of the adventure I got to take care of, and once all said and done, then, you know, I'll be going ahead making more content, and then at the end of the day, it's like, where do we go from here, right? Up. But all in all, though, yeah, and in the mix of all that kind of stuff, I gotta say that Deadpool and Wolverine is one hell of a good movie. I was like, see, the movie that everybody was worried about for a little bit actually ended up coming back and fixing the franchise in an obtuse way. Nah, there ain't no obtuse way in it. It's just multiverse, man. You see, the thing about doing a multiverse story is you really gotta know the ins and outs of it, and then there's times where it can get too big for its own self, and then hopefully there's not a bunch of executive egos floating around that will ruin this whole thing, because, you know, every movie's a presentation, and then we're here to pretty much just be entertained and enjoy ourselves, right? Usually that's the name of the game when we go see movies and stuff, or even on streaming, because those are movies too. Like, when you see things that are mainstream and independent, you want to be entertained, right? You want to go ahead and get away for a while and watch something that doesn't spoon feed you and all this other stuff, or the narrative gets thrown in there, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, this really is not enjoyable at all, because now I'm back into the world that I left to get away and see their story. I want to see what Wade and Logan's story is. I don't give a damn about none of this. You know, little things like that, like, it's like an offshoot, and it takes you away from the universe at, you know, the big universe, but at the same time, it tells you a lot going on surrounding the universe, especially the Fox films and all. And say what you will about some of those X-Men movies after Days of Future Past, but you gotta admit, like, something was very unique back in the day when we had, like, the Fox movies and we were watching, like, you know, the first X-Men film, and then later on they started doing, like, spin-offs, and then, like, instead of, like, the, what was it? Was it X-Men Legends? Is that what it's called? No, X-Men Origins is what they called it. When at the same time, I would have preferred that they made sequels with the spin-offs, you know what I'm saying? But, of course, we had to go ahead and play with the timey-wimey ball back then, too, but very unique times, man, by the time we got to X-Men 3. I'll tell you that right now. You know? And X-Men First Class wasn't that bad. And then all of a sudden, like, we got The Wolverine, which is a decent film. I liked it. You know what I'm saying? And then the Deadpool movies came into play, which was pretty cool. Fantastic Four movies for better. I'll be honest with you. Considering what the hell happened with the Josh Trank movie, I didn't have a problem with the first two. I didn't have a problem with the first Fantastic Four movie Roger Corman's Fantastic Four movie was really, well, it was funny. And it seemed like everybody enjoyed their roles, you know what I'm saying? But you can tell where, like, the budget was and where the budget wasn't. But I kind of enjoyed it. It was entertaining. But let's go back into, like, what was released in, like, the early 2000s. So, you know, like, you had the 2005 Fantastic Four movie, and then you had the 2007 Rise of the Silver Surfer movie. They did not bother me as much. Matter of fact, I was like, okay. Just needs a little work with the writing, but no, not too bad about this. Dr. Doom was okay, but I wish they did not have to show his friggin' face. But this is Julian McMahon we're talking about. He's gonna show his face. Nip Tuck was huge at the time, so, you know, they worked with him, and he wasn't really that bad, you know? Like, he had the voice, he had the presence, but, you know, the thing about it is, Dr. Doom was so loosely used in those movies, it was just like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And, of course, you know, like, that's the most exciting part about Fantastic Four, other than Ben Grimm, you know? You get to see Dr. Doom. And that being said, though, as we keep moving forward, like, I could go through all MCU stuff if I want to, but this is a 45-minute show. We ain't doing that shit. But what I'm saying is that the Fox movies were enjoyable, but, you know, kind of like how everybody brings this up, like, because every time Sony does, like, something in there, their Spider-Man universe, it's always say in association with Marvel, and people are like, yeah, but they don't really dive into it like Marvel does. It's just they go ahead and they get the rights to it. It's like, shut up, bitch. We know. No offense, but we know. And you see, like, for the time, in the early times, they dived into movies. Even the movie with Blade, you know. Called Blade, by the way. You know, it just shows that the superheroes did work on movies. And, like, seeing the progression and growth of them to now, it's like, yeah, this is awesome. This is something to enjoy. But, you know, maintain the storytelling. Like, don't deviate too much. Because at the end of the day, it might divide fans and stuff. And then you see, like, the MCU got too big for its britches after a while. Like, you know, there was a moment where, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is that even canon anymore? And then there's moments where, depends on who you're talking to. Like, when they took the Inhumans royal family, and they made that into a series, rather than just giving it its proper due as a movie. That would have been a great movie for Phase 4 or Phase 5, or, you know... Phase 4 got fucked up because of those damn shows coming into play. Like, I mean, I understand. They want to push all those superheroes and stuff. And they're like, yeah, yeah, if we go ahead and we do this, we get all the C-listers up. And then all of a sudden, we have that shared universe again. See, the thing about it is, like, there's this whole Wonder Man show that's coming. I mean, maybe that'll work for those who are fans of Wonder Man. But I have not met one. Maybe a good friend of mine named, you know, he hosts the Power of Friendship podcast, maybe it's good for him and all the rest of them, but then there are people out there who, you know, like, are they even into this character? Like when the Eternals came into play, like I said, like, I've been a Marvel fan for years, but I have not met a damn Eternals fan at all in my travels and everything. So I was like, okay, maybe this will sell if they know what they're doing. And then you look at that movie and you're seeing that this is 3 hours of shit. I mean, other than, like, what, Circe and maybe the little nod to Blade at the end and, like, what was there for the actual story and stuff. Like, it makes you wonder, like, what the hell is this, man? You know? But, like I said, they're going to be making references to it because, you know, the Captain America Brave New World movie is coming, so that should tie up some loose ends with that. I mean, at least with that Celestial in the water, but it just gets you thinking. At the end, they were all just giant robots and constructs and stuff. So, you know, like, when you see that, it's like, it's kind of cheap if you don't give it the best payoff and stuff. And, you know, like, they were suffering from that, too. And then, like, then you had people arguing about whether it was a good movie or not. It was like, you know what? I want to deal with the established heroes in the films. And I kind of want to deal with the sea fodder stuff in the series a little bit. You know, it makes you think about that. But the thing about sea fodder is that, okay, well, where does it go into the universe as a whole here? Oh, well, it's in a whole different time frame. Because the Fantastic Four now is in a whole different time frame than the actual MCU. It's weird, but at the same time, it's a comic book movie, so you got to give it that grain of salt. But then again, if you see how they handle multiverses and stuff, like, South Park made fun of them real good for this shit. You know what I'm saying? So when you see how they did all that nonsense, it's like, oh my God, just get to the point. Who's manipulating time? And how are we going to stop him at this point? Because they already did show Kang. I mean, to be fair, Kang made his full appearance in Ant-Man. And then all of a sudden, you notice he's got multiple different variants of himself. That right there should have been like, okay, we'll work with this. But then again, when Jonathan Majors and his ex-girlfriend at the time had their very public fallout. And then, you know, the man had to go to court cases for it. Disney was like, wipe him clean. We do not want to work with him anymore. I mean, dude was on a rise there for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he made a few stellar movies. He was really coming into his own in the MCU. Made all that bank with Creed 3. And it just, fuck. When I saw that, I was like, no. What the hell? And of course, you know, as I'm saying that, the rest of the black community happily gave him up. See, this is one thing where, hey, Black America, I'm coming for your ass again soon enough. Because some of the shit y'all do lately, it's getting ridiculous. And I'm just being perfectly honest. And as a black man talking to other black men, it gets tough sometimes, man. Even with the election rolling around, I had to say that. But going back into this stuff, like seeing Jonathan Majors just go, just bust apart and it was ridiculous. Because I was like, finally, somebody else rising up. Somebody else stepping into a prominent role as Kang the Conqueror. And then all of a sudden, that domestic shit happens and like it all flies out the window. And then, of course, they got to wash their hands. They got to go ahead and try to do something about that. This multiverse saga has lost its way because, like, some of the prominent superheroes we don't even care about. We don't even know what the hell the major threat is outside of Kang. What exactly is Kang's end goal here? And then, of course, you had the whole Victor Timely variant that took place in Loki. I mean, whether you cared about that show or not, you probably wouldn't have gotten the gist. If anything, Loki was more of the anchor point of this than who they had in mind to be the anchor person for this multiverse saga, which is Doctor Strange. Like, what exactly is happening with Doctor Strange right now? I mean, I know him and Clea went into the portal to the Dark Dimension to find out what exactly is going on, the splintering and all that stuff. Like, that right there, I need to know what's going on with that. But you see, once again, you're seeing what got me in, right? A character that I give a damn about, And then the whole thing with Spider-Man, like, what's going to happen with the next Spider-Man trilogy that allegedly Tom Holland is so set to do, but at first he said, like, acting has broken him or something. And I was like, give it a rest, will you, dude? You're Spider-Man. That is a great role to be a part of. Run with it for a little bit longer if you can, Or, like, my all-time favorite, we need Robert Downey Jr. to come back to the MCU. I'm like, oh, fuck. Will they quit doing this nonsense? You know what I'm saying? Like, because, see, if there's one thing that doesn't get on my Well, let's see. What's one thing that doesn't get on my nerves as far as, like, MCU? If it isn't the executive meddling and all of the whole thing, like, oh, hey, guys, here's spoilers. Here's spoilers for all of us. It's the damn fans. You know what I mean? Other fans like you and me who go see this shit. And then they gotta go ahead and bring their theories, and then they gotta go bring all these other things, and theories are fine within small doses, but you realize after a while that's just somebody estimating what could happen. And then comes the part where they're always like, go on about it, like they have to be 100% right with the stuff. Today's MCU fan is equivalent to, and the cousin of, or aka bastard spinoff of, a Star Wars fan. Let's just be perfectly honest. Which, ironically, they're both owned by Disney. So, and anything owned by Disney, either gets misused, undersold, or at the same time, some other bullshit. Well, like, they said this, too. They said they were going to dial back on a few properties. But then it's like, dial back on a few properties. You got to keep your Disney Plus marketable. Why don't you do what Netflix did? Because you wanted all that control. You got control over the Netflix shows now. Why don't you bring some of them back? Like, I mean, you were working on Daredevil Born Again, and you did bring that back. It does sound good. I just would love to see it. I think we all would love to see it. Even the She-Hulk show wasn't that annoying. I got real annoyed with the writers. The writers of the She-Hulk show, they had to be prominent in some form or another. Like, They couldn't just make a show, hope it sells, and do good with that. No, they had to come up with the narrative every time. And they had to always be on fucking Twitter talking about how much they got paid or this and that and all that. It's like, goddamn, man. It was just, what the hell? I want to watch the show. I don't give a damn about you. I want to watch the show. I hope that you got paid. I hope that it was a livable wage. I hope that, you're doing good enough to have a solid career from this. Same thing with the person who wrote the Falcon and Winter Soldier show. He had to say, I mentioned racism, and then all of a sudden I had PTSD while I was trying to sell this show. I was like, I don't give a damn about you. I want to see the finished product. And that's all the stuff leading up to our main feature. Which, by the way, if you're listening on Red Circle, the ads will be inserted right here.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's like, you know, the MCU going through its dork age. I mean, they already took a gamble going into this multiverse and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that now, because Disney and Marvel have dived into this and stuff, multiverse stories have gone to shit. Because, like, they're a part of the whole main lexicon of things, and people have found a way to do lazy writing because of it, instead of just actually telling you something. And it's wild, man. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you look at Phase 1, Phase 2, Phase 3, and then you see, like, they had to kind of dive into that whole thing of bringing people back. So, that makes sense when you're seeing something like that, but in the end of it all, it's like, oh, man, when I found out they were doing multiverse stuff, I was like, okay, who are our anchor people? Who's the main villain? What exactly is to keep us entertained for here on out? Because, you know, the thing about it is, things have a rise and things have a fall. It's just like with the universe horror movies, you know what I mean? Universal horror movies, they had a rise and a fall, too. And I'm not talking about the Dark Universe. The Dark Universe could have been good, but they had to lay it on thick. They couldn't just subtly do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if anything, the pinpoint and anchor film of the Universal horror movies was Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, and then later on they started going into that whole ideal that it's a shared universe. And even then it was small doses. You know? Whew. It's weird. Like, I'm trying to give you guys, like, a condensed form of this, and even then, I'm kind of slightly burnt out by that. I'm like, Jesus Christ. You know? But you see, what Wolverine and Deadpool, or Deadpool and Wolverine, that is, it the movie is fun. You know what I mean? It's enjoyable, it's fun, action-packed, all the ins and outs of it. The memes and all, like, it had a lot of fan service, because apparently that's bad for movies now, because people are like, it has too much fan service in it. It's like, it's a movie, man. Of course it does. So enjoy the shit. Like, you either go to enjoy it, you don't need to go to it to criticize and stuff. And it's Deadpool, man. And then not to mention Hugh Jackman coming back as Wolverine. Because, you know, God, they can never find anybody else to be Wolverine. Much in the same way they can't find anybody else to be Black Panther. Or anybody else to be Doctor Doom. Right? You know, because... And this is my whole thing about the MCU, right? why did they have to keep taking people who are not casted in prominent roles? And they got to give it to those that they feel as though they got to give it to established actors and all that stuff, instead of just finding people who have been acting and been wanting to get into these kind of roles and stuff like that. You know, what I'm saying is a seed for the future. Help people rise up to become prominent. Like, I get it. Like, a lot of us were mourning when Chadwick Boseman died. We were. But the thing about it is this. They could have pushed back the movie. And they could have said, it's too soon. And they could have had, like, somebody else become Black Panther. Simply because, like, you know, they mourn. We all mourn. But even Chadwick Boseman's family said that they would be helpful and they would give due respect to whomever would take the role of Black Panther. And there's lots of brothers out here who could do the role. Could they do it as good as him? We will never know. Because we have to see who's willing to step up for that role. And a lot of y'all out there be bellyaching and say, no, it shouldn't happen like this. Shut up, damn it. You had 3 Spider-Men, okay? You've had multiple people play the role of certain superheroes. Did they get sequels? Some of them did. Some of them didn't. But one person from the motherland of Africa itself, and you think just one person could play that role? I gotta admit, nobody can do it like Chad right now, but once again, we won't know that until somebody else steps up into that role. Somebody has to be willing to audition and cast for that. And yeah, they're going to be judged by the audience. And you know, I hate this, though. I really hate it when, like, you know, publications and then, like, you know, production teams or writers, actors, all this other yada, yada, yada. I can't stand some of them when they come out here and they say, the audience is really getting at me. They're really doing all this, these negative things. They're writing racial stuff. They're threatening my life, yada, yada, yada. What the hell are you doing on the internet in the first damn place? Cut it out, will you? Like, look, if you're ever in a role like these things, I highly suggest don't be on social media. Do your job. And when it comes time to do some press and stuff like that, well, I guess because social media is press, then you go ahead and you step up and you go ahead and you say, hey, look, I'm having fun doing the role. I hope you enjoy the product. And that's it. You don't have to engage every damn person out here. You know, any YouTuber or any person that does podcasting that's not a celebrity will tell you there are always going to be people out there that do not like what you do, say, or whatever. And it's only because they got something wrong with them. Or their ideal movie will never be made. You know what I'm saying? Because some of us go into these movies with some of the most craziest expectations. You know? Rather than just let the movie sell. And then there are rooms for criticism. Always. So, you just gonna have to deal with it. Alright? As long as they're not coming out there trying to hurt you and stuff like that, that's a little different. But if they're over here posting stuff on message boards, they're going to do it anyway. People are going to be people, no matter what you do. Like you know, who was it? It was Moses Ingram and what she was saying, like, when she was on, Star Wars Obi-Wan. And I was like, come on, man. You know what you're dealing with. Or the original one, Kelly Marie Tran, and what she went through for, you know, episode 8. Like, they pretty much tried to Jake Lloyd her, according to what she was saying. She had to delete all of her social media. And that's really funny, too. Like, she had to delete all of her social media. You know, like, remember the J-Man hierarchy? And I always say that social media is not at the top of my lifestyle. Like, and it really isn't. It's more like the number 10 when it comes to a top 10 of things for me. Then again, I don't know, push it down to 11 where it's not even on the list, because that's how bad social media has gotten. Don't make social media your number one priority, because it can go one or two ways, and God knows the algorithm isn't helping. You know, But that's my whole thing in terms of advice for like any actors and all that kind of stuff up here. You're going to be in the public eye enough, especially if you're good and strong about it. The thing about it is that your social media, sometimes dial it back. Just go to work, do your thing. Or anybody who's working in the entertainment industry, you know? Yeah, it'd be wild sometimes. But to our main point here, and then, like, you know, SDCC comes into play. Marvel has a great presentation and exhibition this year. And you see pretty much the cherry on top is that the Kang Dynasty is not happening, but Doomsday is. And then, of course, there's Secret Wars. But Secret Wars has always been happening. And the thing is, they have, you know, they have the Russos back helming both of them, which is cool, you know, because they did a pretty good job with a lot of team-up films. Except for what they did with Hulk. Like, they didn't know what to do with him. I was pissed off with that. I would have loved the damn solo Hulk movie again. Because, like, Universal doesn't have that weird deal anymore, right? Or do they? I'm wondering if they do. Because, he's about due for one. But, I don't know. Anyway, so, all that stuff coming together. And then all of a sudden, you got, like, they said, like, oh my god, Doctor Doom is being announced right now. Everybody's looking at it to see who it is. And then you see Robert Downey Jr. underneath the mask. And everybody's like, oh my god, this is amazing! Oh yeah, he's back to the MCU! Yeah, we're all great! Yeah, we love MCU and everything. It's like, and these are some of the people that have been dissing the hell out of it for the last few years that it's been in play. Ever since Phase 4 rolled around, these people have always been saying some stuff, talking about superhero fatigue and all that jazz, and now, because Robert Downey Jr. is Doctor Doom, far as we know, everybody's sitting there like this. Yay! Well, except IGN. IGN's going through the 5 stages of grief with everything right now, especially Marvel-related. It's the funniest thing you've ever seen, and yeah, I highly suggest you check it out sometime, because either they're saying Deadpool and Wolverine's a great movie, one moment, or the next moment, they say, it doesn't have heart like the other movies do. It's not really that great. Oh my god, it's amazing because it made all that $1 million and stuff. Dumbassery. I don't know who the hell is in charge of them sites, man, but just seeing it fluctuate back and forth is just an idea of what you don't do, and it's not really a good look. But going back into, like, Robert Downey Jr. being Dr. Doom. One, it's good to see him. And two, you know, I love his acting. I love the fact that he's coming back into prominence with a bunch of things. Even though he never really left. You know what I'm saying? He never really left, like, certain things. Like, Oppenheimer alone cements his career in addition to all the times he was Tony Stark in Iron Man, you know? But see, here's the thing. My whole thing with it. They need people to come back and love him again. So they're looking for anybody they can, especially the one who started the MCU in a way, to go ahead and be the villain for a little bit. But my whole thing is, see, like, the Fantastic Four take place in a whole different, you know, different era within the multiverse. So maybe he is the Victor Von Doom of that era. It remains to be seen exactly what happens. But another thing is, I'm thinking maybe it's a Tony Stark variant, that, because Doom can swap his mind with people. So maybe, like, he'll swap his mind with a Tony Stark variant and become, like, you know, Dr. Doom and all that stuff. That could be interesting. Could be. But you see, my whole thing is, there are so many people on this planet. So many people you could hire to be Dr. Doom. And you went with Robert Downey Jr. In a way, it's kind of a cop-out. You know what I'm saying? You could have had a lot of... But then again, this is Marvel. And Marvel is good with their heroes. But there are times in Marvel films, anyway, where they really give their villains the shaft. They're either one-offs, or they're condensed versions of certain villains. Or there are times where, you know, certain villains are not even fighting their respected heroes that they're supposed to fight against. You know, and they really did let me down with Taskmaster. I mean, oh my god, she was the daughter that gave Natasha PTSD. I was like, the fuck? Well, we all know, if you know who Taskmaster is, that is a real punch to the gut for anybody that knows who that character is, you know? But again, I'm just like, okay, I mean, you announced them, you made this happen. Now, we just got to see what goes on, because I already told you about Jonathan Majors' whole issue. By the way, he came back in the news not too long ago, or allegedly a publicist of his, and says that he's deeply gutted that, you know, he's been replaced by Dr. Doom and by Robert Downey Jr., of all people. But it's like this, hey, my dude, you knew this was coming. You know, like, I did stand by him and all. Like, I was like, well, there's more to this video than we think, you know. And I know a lot of people were highly invested into it because of certain reasons I'm not going to bring up on this show today. But it's like this. Like, as soon as your agency dropped you, you know, the Disney job was going to come next. And Disney was happy to say, we are not working with that man anymore. Because they have an image to maintain. And for better or worse, they will be hell-bent on maintaining it. Even though they've done some very malicious shit. And they still do. You see what I'm saying? And even with this, it's like, I'm like, you know, eventually they will reboot these films. Eventually, like, people get older, people move on, people want to do certain things, you know? And does it cheapen Iron Man's death in Avengers Endgame? I mean, maybe. I mean, like, nah, there ain't no middle of the road to this. He's playing a different character, but it's like, you know, when you look at him, you know him as Iron Man. You don't know him as Dr. Doom. Of course, everybody's always like, well, you know, Jay, there was a moment where Dr. Doom was Iron Man. Yeah, motherfucker, but we're not talking about that right now. And hell, I don't know exactly the role that, you know, what the direction of said role is going to be. And neither do you. You know? It's just like, it's just a whole bunch of question marks and all that kind of stuff. But on one end, I can see where it's a damn letdown because, you can't hire anybody out of the 4.8 billion people that are on this damn planet alone? I mean, actually, 4.8 billion in the United States alone. You can't hire people? Like, that's what it is. It's like, bring some up-and-comers into this like you used to. Now, that being said, though, do you bring in people like Taika Waititi to go ahead and do another direction of things? Fuck no. Man, the guy did okay with Ragnarok, but that fourth Thor movie? Ugh, hated it. I just do. I don't really like him as a director. I just don't like him, you know? So I'm a little biased on that. But what I'm saying is, it's just, why don't we seed for the future, bring some people in who could carry on these roles a little bit longer? You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to show age discrimination. Like, you can have people of advanced age if you want to. But the thing about it is, in their way, they're probably thinking, hey, if we cast every person in this movie as Robert Downey Jr., we got something. And then we go ahead and we bring back some of the other established people. You know, Scarlett Johansson's still hot, right? Oh, wait, we killed her off in this one. But then again, we can use a time-displaced variant to go ahead and take the role here to become something new. This'll work, y'all! I can only imagine those boardroom meetings. I can only imagine, like, a lot of things. Because remember, like, they had that little Disney war, like, between him and another board Bob Iger and another board member that seemed a lot more interesting than whatever the hell these properties churn out for us. It's so odd, man. It is so odd. But is the MCU back on track? Well, if they keep making movies that with characters that people care about, and if they go ahead and they sell like what exactly they're trying to sell here, they might have a chance. But if anything, the multiverse is just too damn big, too damn wide, no direction, not working with the people that are surrounding it. I mean, hell, you know, you should have like post-credit scenes with Doctor Strange getting involved and seeing exactly what goes down. At least, you know, it's like, ooh, what happens next? What happens next? You know? But, you know, that's just what, you know, that's just my two cents on it. It's just really, really open-ended right now. And at the end of the day, if you can get over your superhero fatigue, you might have something. But, of course, they're going to spoil the hell out of all the stuff, too, and there won't be no real excitement unless you go to it and hope that the post-credit scene or mid-credit scene actually serves its purpose. You know? And I try to talk about the backlash of things, because a lot of people have said, like, oh, MCU got woke, MCU, all this other stuff. It was there. But what killed me the most with the MCU is no direction. You know what I'm saying? It felt like there was no direction there for the longest time. And I had a lot of hope when I went to go see that Doctor Strange movie and Multiverse of Madness, I mean. And it kind of broke me a little bit. Kinda. Because, I mean, like, I'll go see these movies. Because I love going into movies. And, you know, I'll go and I'll keep an eye on things, see what happens and stuff. Because, you know, you get some interesting conversations out of these things. But, again, you know, where do we go from here? Well, I hope that they actually know what they're doing. I actually hope they trim it down a little bit. I hope that they keep a good pace, because they got the momentum right now. So this will be the way that they can actually fix things. The problem is, though, of course you're going to have people out there who are experts. I'm not an expert at this shit regarding MCU. Hell, I'm just a guy who loves comics and I love movies, and it's cool to see that they are utilizing, you know, basis from a lot of Marvel properties to make these movies. And it was a good run in the beginning, and sure, it might have went off at the deep track in the middle, but now there's a way to just keep on going and finish strong. And if they finish strong with this, you got something, you know. And then maybe later on they could probably, I don't know if they'll ever bring Kang back. Like, even my whole thing about recasting Kang, they could have done that too. You know, it's just, but I get it. You got a lot of money tied up into somebody and stuff, and they're not performing. So or they go into some domestic shit, and you don't want to be caught up in any part of that. It's a lot to it, but that's just the nature of the beast, and that's the business. But where do we go from here? You know, but hey, I mean, like, This is okay. If they get themselves fixed up and, you know, DCU takes off like it's supposed to, maybe then this will be good for newer comic book fans, or, you know, maybe this will be great for them. But those of us that are kind of tired or checked out of all that stuff, it's okay. I mean, there's other movies we could watch, I hope. Because for a while there, this was like the go-to ticket for a lot of these movie companies. And that's why, like, at the end of the day, you know, they did it to themselves. But yeah, I mean, right now, it doesn't matter to me who you cast entirely. Sell me a good movie. Sell me one good movie. And they already did that with Deadpool and Wolverine. You know? And now you got all these other things that are happening. So hopefully it'll keep its pace and go where it needs to go. And hopefully we can get some variety too. Like, really bring back some movies, some genres that are not dead. Like, genres are not dead is what you do with them, you know? A lot of people were saying that the Western was dead, right? But see, the thing about it is, with streaming, Westerns came back in a big way. And I know some people in the independent game who made a few Westerns. So it's not dead. Tell a story, you know? And whether people like it or not is entirely on how you market it, how it's motivated, and of course, how people respond to it. So, it's one of them kind of things. But I wanted to go ahead and dive into that a little bit, because, like, you know, people are all sitting over here, they're giving their 2 cents about stuff. I just wanted to go ahead and talk about the MCU today, and, you know, like I said about Black America, because, yo, I do social commentary a lot. Y'all notice this. So I got to dive into that, because people are off the chain on some of this stuff now. It seems to be every election year it's like this. But you know what? That's story for another episode. Until then, though, I want you all to take care of yourselves. We will have another episode happening on Wednesday. Of course, we're going back to the regular schedule this time. So starting with Tuesday on the Mini Bites, you know, we continue this whole thing again at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And let me just say this, these morning jobs are really getting to me. But I got to get going, though. So you guys take care. Until next time, this is J-Man signing off. Peace.